3 or 4 or 5 minutes into the race where I realized I kind of had an epiphany. You got to hike to do well in this race. You can't just be fit and win Mount Marathon. You got to actually do some hiking. And all I was doing in the springtime in preparation was going out skiing mm-hmm. and going out running in the woods. And that yeah. doesn't do it. It's a hiking race. And after two failures to do as well as I wanted to do, I thought, okay, that's it for Mount Marathon. I either have to decide that I'm going to spend my springtime and part of my winter hiking to get ready to do well in this race, or maybe I'll just be the announcer and let other people do it.
But it sounds like you, as a result of that, have a healthy respect for the challenge that is Mount Marathon from the perspective of a racer.
Oh, for sure. I mean, among running races, it's one of the iconic crazy races in the United States. I mean, there's other races like the Leadville 100, which are crazy in a different way. And there's something in the Midwest, some sort of marathon I've heard of, something, I can't remember the name of it. There's other kind of crazy races, but this is certainly one of them. And it doesn't have anything to do with the endurance of the event. I mean, it only takes the winners 45 minutes or so. But it has everything to do with the steepness of the climb and it's sort of a special climb. You have to be able to go uphill consistently on a steep pitch with no breaks for a solid half hour, which is kind of a special skill. And then the downhill, it takes some skill too. There's several places that require some skill. And the consequences, if you either get tired or you're not as skilled as you think you are, mm-hmm. Could be falling on the shale and having to go get a few stitches at the hospital.
Yeah, some real agility is what's required of that.
And that's unusual for a running race. I mean, running races, typically their challenge comes in either the distance or the level of the competition or the heat or the weather conditions or whatever. But this is a race which is not a running race. It's a hiking race, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. So as an announcer, you're seeing every single person who comes off that mountain at their moment of relief, like, oh my gosh, I made it out of this super sketchy part of this race. I picked the right route for me, or I didn't. And you're seeing them get on the road. What is special to you about that moment? Like, what is it about that you see there because you're there for each race, or that you wouldn't see otherwise?
Yeah, I think for everybody that comes off the mountain, it's kind of a sigh of relief that they made it. And that goes even from the winner, who's winning by a couple of minutes, maybe sometimes, even those people are like, okay, I did this and I'm going to win this race. The people that are a little bit further behind the winner, I think those people have gone pretty hard and pushed their limits. So I think some of those people are kind of happy to have made it. Okay, no injuries this year. And for the people at the very back of the race, the people who are finishing it, close to the limit, the time limit, I think they're relieved kind of to be done with it. Like, they accomplished it. I think for everybody, there's a real accomplishment in doing this race, from the winners who are relieved to have won the race because that's what they set out to do, to the people in the middle of the field who got through it without injury, and to the back of the people who managed to the back of the field, the people who managed to make it all the way up the mountain and then make it all the way back down again, and they're going to get across the finish line to survive another year.
Yeah. The other thing you see as an announcer is the crowd, like the people who are there cheering it on. And the thing that gets me about the Mount Marathon spectators is that, you know, at many races that I've attended, especially running races, the spectators are either family or they're people who have run in the past and they enjoyed the experience and they want to witness it. That doesn't necessarily seem to be the case at Mount Marathon. Some of these people are like Mount Marathon groupies who are just there for the experience of spectating. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, the thing that's special about the crowds at Mount Marathon is that they come from so many different places. And I don't mean just geographic places, but you have people that are experts at Mount Marathon and they know exactly what's going on. And then you have people that show up and they say, hey, what's going on around here? Why are all these people here? I mean, they showed up in Seward and they literally walk up and go, oh, this is some kind of big race or something going on. So you have, and it's, I think the people, it makes for a really, really interesting social scene there. You have a lot of people who are in Seward because they go there every year to watch this race, but they're meeting friends that they haven't seen since last summer in Seward when they were there for the same event. So it makes for a really kind of a special vibe, and it's a unique vibe. Sometimes you go to an event that's very specialized and all the fans know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But this one, you got a range of fans who know exactly how this race works down to fans who they thought it was a marathon.
Yeah. I mean, it is in the title.
Yeah, it is in the title.
Yeah. Well, I, as a spectator myself, I thought it was really fun how I've been involved in the running community in Alaska. So this was like all of my running friends together, but in Seward, right? So
yeah, that's right. All of your running friends and then all of your non-running friends too.
Yep.
Who are going to be there every time to watch it because it's a fun social event. It's a good time to watch this race. It's kind of a crazy race. And you've got people that are into the race but have no intention of ever doing it and never have done it and they don't want to.
Yeah. Well, Adam, thanks for that window into announcing at Mount Marathon, and I'm sure we'll see you there.
Thank you, Amy. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this July 4th.
Welcome back to Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Amy Bouchatz. I'm here with Denali Folderger-Strabel, who is a longtime Mount Marathon racer. So long, she actually grew up in the shadow of Mount Marathon. She's from Seward, Alaska. And so, Denali, I don't even know if it's possible for you to tell us what Mount Marathon means to you, or even to put that in words. It's something that's just been a part of your life for so long, but maybe you can take a crack at it. What does Mount Marathon mean to you?
You're right. Mount Marathon is hard for me to explain. I think that as I've grown up on that mountain and kind of in front of that race, I have had many, many different lives. I would say that in my early years, it was my playground and it was what my parents did. And as they were training up and down with all the other training groups, I was playing on the cliffs and creating little forts at the base. It was my childhood. And then I would say when I started to get a little more serious, I realized that I had a knack for it. And I loved competing in the junior race, but I told myself that I was only going to do as much as I needed to perform, because I never wanted this race to take away how I felt about the mountain. And then I would say that I allowed that race to dictate kind of my life. Kind of in my early 20s, I got uber serious about it and I wanted to win. That's all I wanted to do. I kind of left everything that was my childhood, everything I cared about, my reason why the race or why I even showed up. It was all about the win. Surprise, I never won. And so then I had to start understanding, like, this is kind of a hollow dream. I mean, if you're only, there's only one winner. So why am I showing up year after year? I'm hating this race. And people have actually heard me say that. And that's not true. I get frustrated with the race, but the mountain is what I love. The mountain is my heart and soul. It's where I go to make sense of the world. And as an adult, I still make trips down there just to go and not to go for training, just to be on that mountain. There's something so familiar with that mountain that makes me realize, okay, this is why I'm here. This is what I'm doing. So I would say right now my relationship with Mount Marathon is that, okay, I've got kind of, you know, this competitive streak about me, but what's my lasting effect that I want to leave on this community? And that's hopefully being a good role model for the next generation, especially for young girls and women to, you know, understand that not many races get their own race for women. So the men go and then the women go. We get our own spotlight. We get our own support. And I think it's something that all women should experience. There's nothing like running with a bunch of women up into the mountains. It's such a sisterhood that I'm here to try and protect and promote. So I think that I haven't left that goal of winning, but I don't want to be known as the girl who never won. I hope that I'm doing more for that race than just, oh, goodness me, she hasn't won. That's so sad. I just hope no one thinks that about me, because I'm having a great time with what I'm doing. And if I do ever win that race, then yeah, that's going to be pretty awesome. But right now, my main focus and why this mountain is so important to me is because I think that it can help young women and older women and even men. But I want to talk about the ladies because I'm a lady. But just help us all get into the mountains.
Well, you say you've never won. You are a three-time, correct, juniors champion?
Oh, yes. I have junior trophies. They sit right next to Eric's senior trophies. They look the same.
But Eric, your husband, Eric Strabel, who also is who has won. You have finished quite well at Mount Marathon in 2023. You were in the top three, right? So, you know, give yourself a little bit of credit there.
Yes, yes, yes. I should give myself more credit. I should be nicer to myself. I'm working on that. I think my average day somebody would dream of. I think that I don't have an ego. I just get caught up in the rat race of sure. I'm trying to get 20 finishes and as many sub-hour finishes as I can. Sub-hour is kind of this marker for the women, whereas back in the day, maybe the first top two gals were getting that, and now, I mean, I don't even know what last year was. It had to be maybe the top 20 now can get under a sub hour. But I think that that is still a huge marker for women to try and get. And I know that I am above average because I run 53s to 55s, and I don't take that for granted. Let me tell you, I don't. But I know that one day I won't be able to run that way. And so right now, I think, yes, I am a little too critical on myself. I don't give myself enough credit, and I'm the downhill queen. So I do have things, but again, I don't want anyone to ever think that I need self-validation or I need trophies or plaques. I just want to make sure that if anyone has an interaction with me that day, that they feel good about coming to Mount Marathon, they feel good about racing Mount Marathon, or they feel good about just introducing themselves to me, because I want success for me is to make sure that people feel welcome in our community.
As a spectator, it is really cool to watch the lady train, you know, and this the women's race, as you're talking about, and the competitiveness and the challenge of that race, where you are in a race against other women, but at the end, you are in a group hug with these same other women that you were just racing down the street or racing down the mountain. And that also, when you are headed up the mountain, you're working together in a way to get each other up that, even though you're competing with each other. And it's just such a unique group experience that I'm not sure you even see in many other mountain races. It feels like it's in somewhat unique to Mount Marathon because of the community.
For sure. For sure. And I've been in lady trains all around the world, and it's fabulous for sure. But something about our community, right? It's small, and we do the same races year after year. You start knowing, and I don't say this in the way that it's going to come out, but you kind of do start learning each other's weaknesses. So if someone,
it's a competition, right? That's okay.
Well, like if I'm finally climbing well, I mean, not only are the women going, "Oh no, I wasn't counting her as a climber," but I have been told in the race, like, "You're doing good." And even though it's just a simple, "You're doing good," just for them to say that, I know that they're worried because it's like, I didn't have you on my bingo card for climbing, but if someone has a good downhill or if someone does something. So it's really fun to be at the start of that Mount Marathon race, looking down the line and seeing all the women, okay, all right, blah, blah, blah is going to be a road runner. Okay. And do you think she's going to go the cliffs or the routes?
And how many other races can you do that you say you train with the people that you're competing against? Because you and Christy Marvin train together at least some part of the time out in the valley. And so you're fiercely competitive on that day, but you're close training partners.
Yeah, and we have a common ground of lifting others up, mm-hmm. working together. There's nothing more boring than doing it on your own. And I think both of us want to rip that down of it's lonely at the top. And I don't just do that with Christy. I've always put myself out there. If I find myself in Seward, I try to call the Seward gals. If I find myself in Anchorage, I try to find the Anchorage gals. Anyone who's willing to go with me, especially with something like Mount Marathon, you know people are training. And if you go there on a weekend, you're going to find somebody. So I don't ever want, you know, any of my training partners to think that I'm using them. And I was pretty upfront with Christy, and I just told her at the time my goals, and she thought that was a little audacious, like, just, whoa, okay. But then she came back to me later on and said, "I've been thinking a lot what you were saying, and if we want to do that, we have to get our butts together." And I'm like, but it's got to be a we thing. It can't be just, I can't do this alone. So I think a lot of times with my goals, I think, sure, I could do it alone, but it's kind of easier doing it with somebody. And then when we're in the race where, you know, most people are thinking, oh, if Chrissy and Meg are in the race, who's going to be just the next person who comes? That's usually how it is. But it's nice now to know that, well, hey, I train with Chrissy. I can climb with Chrissy. I can climb what they're doing. I mean, and so I hope that maybe 10 years from now, I can have someone who's 10 years younger than me, and I get to kind of bring them under my wing and say, it's okay, just follow me.
Yeah. You are a Seward Mount Marathon family. Your dad's safety committee, your mom, you know, top women's finishers a couple times, right? Your parents race or are there watching you race. Your sister, Ruby Blake, also raced with you. Your sister was killed in a boating accident a couple of years ago. And so I'm wondering, given how much Mount Marathon is a family affair for you, how your experience with the race has changed after her loss.
Well, I will say that I am super close with my parents, and I'm especially close with my brother. My brother has also ran the race. Him and my sister kind of took the back seat to me being uber competitive in the race. When those two got together, it was out of control. They were just my super fans. And so it's not just about what I lost. It's about like what my entire family has mm-hmm. lost. And I see my brother and I think, man, like half of him isn't here either. And will we ever get over that? And is that something you get over? And I'm not sure. And how do we move on? Because we all have kids and we want them to grow up and grow up like how we did, not grow up where you have to race. Who cares, right? Like, I don't care if my son races, but I just want him to see this is what people do. And if you choose to do this, that's awesome. But like, how do we continue to remember Ruby while also moving forward? And I think most days I can do that. And most times I can make my pain kind of like this thing that I can control. But I will say that when I'm down in Seward, there's something that I just get suffocated with. And it's maybe it's the memories, maybe it's just knowing that I'll never see Ruby here again. I'll never see her here again. Like, forever is so permanent. And that's something I'm still trying to navigate down. And being in Seward on that day is both amazing and the best support I've ever felt, and also uber exhausting and kind of like the biggest kick in the gut about my sister being dead, because it's something that we shared and there's just all those, I think that people don't recognize that when you lose someone like that, you don't just lose the big things. It's those little normal things that you were used to them doing that like no one else did. And so I can't even explain all that she did for me, but leading up to that race, I mean, there was years where she was there and she was my little bodyguard, and she made sure everybody left me alone because I was trying to race. And as much as I love the support, Denali has to go do her workout now. And, you know, or one time during the race, she raced and someone said, go Denali. And she, I think that year was my downhill record maybe. So I was in second and she must have been in the top 40. And she actually yelled at the person and said, how dare you think Denali's back here? Like, just was all, how dare you? And so she just knew that like this is something that I absolutely love, and this is something that she could kind of sometimes be there, sometimes not be there, but she knew that like you're the type of personality that's going to be there every year until you're an old lady, and I can't explain that why, but I support you. And now I realize that like with her gone, like I don't have that support. Even though I have a lot of family and friends and I have so many people who love and support me, there's just that unique thing that, like I said, like I look at my brother and I just think, boy, oh boy, it's not just me going through it. It's all of us.
The experience of Mount Marathon being in Seward is also unique, whether it's the race vibe or the auction or the kids race on the street or whatever part of that weekend you're looking at. It's just, it's such a uniquely Mount Marathon thing. And, you know, there are many people who try to get in every year through the lottery. It's not guaranteed by any stretch of the imagination. And then there are plenty of first-time folks, or maybe second-time. And so as a seasoned Mount Marathon, dare I say expert, who played... you know, played on the steps of Mount Marathon growing up and raced it today. Do you have any advice for these folks who are coming in for the first time, coming in for the second time? You know, they're not necessarily eyeing the podium, but they want to have a good experience and hopefully leave without bleeding too much. So would you have any advice for these guys?
You have to get on the mountain. Mm. It doesn't replicate any other mountain that you're going to get on. You have to get
on it. For training.
Yeah, for training. You have to get on it. You've got to practice that street. You've got to practice getting to your red line at least once, I think, and just so you can be a little disoriented and be like, okay, can I climb this cliff with my heartbeat in my throat? Because that's how the start's going to be. And whether you're sprinting like I am or just running, it's that ambience of the crowd that gets your heart rate up. It's everything. It makes you jittery. It makes you jazzy. And if you're not prepared for that, you could get 10 minutes on that mountain and say, there's absolutely no way I can go any further. And so I think just practicing specifically on the mountain and practicing that road, getting familiar with the cliffs and the routes, what I would suggest is someone go down and spend the night and spend one day just going up and down one section. Don't even get all the way to half. Don't even get, just pick a section and just memorize it. Just go up and down, up and down, and do it in a way that, like, you're not going to break yourself. And what I think a lot of people don't realize is that you can go up the roots or the cliffs and you can get all the way up to Squirrel's End, and then you can cross over and go down the gully, or what people call the gut, and you could actually do that loop, and that's halfway to half, and then you get over, and then you can do the cliffs going down. So those, all of that section is probably the most dangerous section. So you could spend a whole day, don't care about pace, don't care about what anyone else is doing. I would say spend a whole day just kind of going up and down the same thing until you all of a sudden feel like, okay, this is super comfortable.
Denali Strable, thank you so much for joining us on Outdoor Explorer to talk about Mount Marathon.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me, Amy Bouchatz, and co-host Adam Verrier for this episode of Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. A special thanks to guests Denali Folderger Strable, Mattia Sari, and Steve Mayer for joining us today. Our awesome producer is Tobin Shelby, with assistance from Ammon Swenson. And from all your hosts here at Outdoor Explorer, we'll see you outdoors.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. Theme music is by Portugal, The Man. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and in your favorite podcast app. To see what's coming up on...
Funding for KSDP is made possible in part by the King Cove Corporation, operating the Fleets, Inn Hotel, the Heart Lakes Apartments, and the Last Hook Off Tavern. The King Cove Corporation is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sidkenap to Castle Cape, small craft advisory tonight. Today, variable winds 10 knots, becoming southeast 20 in the afternoon, seas 3.